We hope you enjoy it. Get it together every Saturday afternoon at 4 p.m. The Storyteller Balance.
Hieronymus von Munchausen tells of his fantastical, incredible, and true adventures on land, at sea, and in the air.
My dear friend, my very dear friend, the last time we met, I promised to regale you with more of my hunting experiences, and that promise I intend to keep to death. Now, you will remember, I'm sure, the story of my adventures with the ducks and the bacon, and you will recall how pleased I was that the old general was present that evening to verify before all my guests all that I had described about exploits.
Yes, yes, it's all perfectly true, gentlemen.
I assure you.
Every word of it. I saw it with my own eyes. Oh, Baron, how often have I said it already? It's presence of mind that counts in the end. Presence of mind.
Possibly, General, but it certainly doesn't hurt to have a little luck on your side, eh?
Yes.
It was fortunate that on this particular occasion I was carrying a piece of bacon in the bag. But I don't imagine the ducks would otherwise have agreed to offer themselves for our table this evening. On one other occasion, I remember, it was an entirely different object that came to my rescue. An object you yourselves may well find useful in similar circumstances.
Do we take it, Baron, that you are actually going to make a habit of leaving your ammunition behind when you go off hunting?
No, General, nor of choosing a companion who runs through all his ammunition without bagging something or other.
Yes, well, don't you get on with your story, Baron.
On this occasion, I remember, I had just acquired a new gun, of which I was understandably proud, and I just let off a volley of buckshot when, picture my annoyance, a flight of water hens took off and began circling above me. My mouth began to water at the mere sight of them, and I pictured a brace of them landing up on my table that evening.
But your ammunition was safe, and of course you had forgotten to take a piece of bacon along with you.
As you say, General, I was not prepared for such an eventuality.
Ah.
However, I did have my ramrod with me.
For priming the gun, of course. And what could you do with that?
Sharpen it, of course, as quickly as I could.
Sharpen?
Precisely. And having sharpened it, I loaded it into the gun, walked up to the place where the water hen had finally come to earth, made the devil's own noise to frighten them, and then, as they took off, I fired.
You fired? The deuce you did. And
the ramrod sailed through the air, picked off 7 birds, one after the other, and fell to the ground again. In this way, I was able to bring home 7 birds on a single stick.
Convinced you have no need for a gun at all, you old fox. You seem to manage splendidly without one.
I'll admit I haven't done badly up to now. It's all a question of luck, of course, or, as you would doubtless put it, presence of mind.
Ah, presence of mind.
And that, fortunately, has never failed.
Still, I imagine you found yourself in a few ticklish situations before now.
Indeed, I have.
Yes.
You remind me of the time I found myself face to face with a wolf.
Do I really?
An exceptionally large and ferocious wolf at that. As luck would have it, I had just removed the flint from my gun and was about to sharpen it when the great beast sprang at me from nowhere. There was nothing for it, of course, but to throw my gun away and defend myself as best I could with my bare hands.
Ah, I know. You hit him squarely on the nose. What?
No, not quite.
No.
Instinctively, I thrust my clenched hand into his gullet. But then it occurred to me that unless I allowed my arm to follow it, the wolf would simply sever my arm from my body. And that was something I was determined at all costs to avoid.
There was nothing for it but to thrust my arm as hard as I could down his throat.
Bravo! Yes, a brilliant stratagem. And then?
Unfortunately, the human arm has the ridiculous habit of ending at the shoulder. And it was obvious that I could proceed no further.
Good Lord! What did you do?
What could I do? There I was, quite cozily face to face with the wolf, bent solely on my destruction. And all we could do was make eyes at each other.
Did you try extricating your arm? Eh? Or is that too dangerous?
Far too dangerous, General.
Ah.
Some miserable creature would simply have gobbled me up on the spot. And I have too much respect for my own person to permit that.
Yes.
Nope, I had to think of something else. And then it happened. My fingers, firmly stuck inside the wolf, suddenly fastened onto the beast's entrails. And with a massive heave-ho, I jerked as hard as I could and turned the poor wretch inside out.
You flung him down.
I flung him down.
You flung him down.
As hard as the circumstances would allow. And left him where he landed. He was not, as you can imagine, a very pretty spectacle. And you will readily appreciate that I've no wish to take him home with me.
Of course not, naturally not. But, what exactly does an inside-out wolf look like?
Come, General. Why should we spoil our evening with such unpleasant memories? I'm sure the ladies would far sooner listen to some music.
At this point, the musicians delighted the company by performing a little piece which they kindly offered me by way of dedication, the Münchhausen Suite. But the General, impatient as ever, was soon encouraging me to continue with the story of my adventure.
Gentlemen, gentlemen, before inviting the Baron to regale us with further memories of his hunting exploits, I invite you to raise your glasses in a toast.
No, really, General, it isn't necessary.
Gentlemen, I propose a toast to the huntsman's patron saint, the holy Hubertus, from whom we all, each in his own way, and at various times, need help and succor. Saint Hubertus!
You recall, no doubt, that the holy saint once encountered, on one of his hunting expeditions, a stag bearing a crucifix amid his antlers. He refrained from shooting the stag, of course.
Are you about to tell us, Baron, that you yourself have encountered this exceptional stag and fired?
Tut, tut, General, you misjudge me, I assure you. A Baron von Münchhausen does not indulge in practices of that kind. No, the stag I speak of was not the stag of St. Hubertus, but a strange and extraordinary creature for all that.
I know. He had the power of human speech.
If he did, General, I was never made aware of it. In fact, he uttered not a sound of any description. And what was far stranger, he refused to budge an inch at my approach. There we stood, he and I, staring each other in the eye as if merely passing the time of death.
Perhaps he didn't know you, Baron.
That thought did, I admit, occur to me. And I was deeply offended that this splendid creature had heard nothing of my prowess in the field. So, in order to convince him of my proficiency, I began at once to reach for some shot in my back.
Ah.
And then it struck me.
The stag had obviously been observing me for some time and had evidently realized that...
That you had, as usual, spent your ammunition.
Quite so, General.
Yes. Well, nevertheless, the stag must have known very little about you, or he would have recalled that famous presence of... What do you call it?
Mine.
Mine. You thought of some stratagem or other?
Naturally.
Naturally?
I remember that I had somewhere in my bag a supply of cherries, which I'd taken along for sustenance. I took the cherries out of the bag and began extracting the stones from the fruit. All the while, the stag stood by, observing what I was doing. Eventually, I loaded the cherry stones into the gun, ignited the powder, and struck the unsuspecting creature straight between his antlers.
A master shot.
A master shot it certainly was. But I regret the stag was not killed on the spot. Mm-hmm. He fell over and rolled around so that I was under the impression I had stunned him. And then, just as I walked up to him, he sprang up and made off like the wind. I was forced to make my way home with neither the stag nor my bag of cherries.
At last, Edward.
At last, General?
At last, you admit your match. For once in your life, you returned from a hunt absolutely empty-handed.
Patience, General. Pray, have patience. My story is not quite finished. Hmm? For the time being, it's true, I had to make my way home empty-handed. But a year or two later, I found myself once again in the same part of the forest, and this time, I had the necessary ammunition with me.
Hmm. Extra large cherry stones.
If it was cherry stones I was after, General, I soon found that I'd more than enough. All of a sudden, I found myself quite tangled up in a cherry tree. A cherry tree about 10 feet tall. It was quite the most unusual cherry tree I ever encountered. For instead of standing still, it moved about in all directions. In a flash, I realized that the tree was in reality the stag I had shot 2 years before. Now sprouting a magnificent collection of cherry branches among his antlers. It seemed to me that I had long since laid my claim to this splendid creature. And so, taking careful aim, I fired, and he fell to the ground, dead. You see, gentlemen, that even when I'm forced to return home empty-handed, I try to make amends for it at some later stage. This time, I had not only a fine stag to my credit, but a plentiful supply of cherries, too. And I have seldom tasted such excellent fruit in my whole life. I need hardly say, I'm sure, that on this particular evening, the dish of venison I enjoyed was liberally garnished with a fine cherry sauce. But now let us leave off our story to this day and turn our attention to the splendid duck which managed to fly me home this morning.
My dear friend, that evening was a very merry one indeed. And if you wish, I'll continue the story of my adventures the next time we meet. About drugs when you can have the facts. Write the free booklet to National Institute of Mental Health, Box 1080, Washington, D.C., 20013.
You're listening to WAX, serving the educational, cultural, and community needs of the capital area. This is WAMU-FM.